Just behave yourselves and act like men.
Now you start using your head. That's not love. That's 3 feet above your ass.
People will come, Ray.
Don't try to strike everybody out. Strikeouts are boring. Besides that, they're fascist.
We don't stink right now.
You play ball like a girl!
You're out of here!
There's no crying in baseball!
High fly ball into right field. She is gone!
This is West Coast Bias.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Thank you for joining us once again.
Welcome.
I am Adam Nelson.
And I am Samuel Paul. And this is West Coast Bias Baseball Podcast.
Is it? All right, I got a little worried there for a second. Remember to email us at baseballshowpodcast@gmail.com. We were gone for a little bit. I was spending some time in the woods, Big Sur, and you, sir, were in the land of no baseball.
Well, no, there's some baseball, just minor
league
baseball.
There is some baseball. This is the most important AAA team, actually, but talking about Major League Baseball, though, no, you were...
Well, only because they were acknowledged by the Simpsons.
Where were you?
I was in Albuquerque.
Yeah, go Topes. That's right. But actually, what was on my mind today was this. Does this ring a bell?
Hideo Nomo has done what they said could not be done. Not in the Mile High City, not at Coors Field in Denver. He has not only shut out the Rockies, he has pitched a no-hitter, and thank goodness they saw it in Japan.
That's right. Today is Hideo Nomo's 55th birthday.
Ah.
Wow. I mean...
Well, happy birthday, Hideo Nomo.
Right. Pre-humidor. I mean, geez.
The tornado.
How did he do that? A no-hitter?
Well,
Mile high?
I don't know. Was that
51st birthday. Sorry, 51st Hideo. 51st birthday. Sorry, Hideo.
You're advancing him beyond his time.
I didn't mean to do that.
Was that his rookie season? Was that his debut season in the MLB?
Good question. It was 96, so yeah. Yeah,
yeah, it was. Yeah. So I think, you know, it was a combination of, I think he was still new and people weren't used to his windup, that tornado.
Yeah, it was
where
great.
He turned that 16 all the way back so the hitter could get a thing. And he had great stuff.
Yeah,
and major league hitters at that point had not figured him out.
The guy was nasty. It was also that pause at the top of the windup before he turns.
He was fun to watch. He really was.
It was not unlike, you know, it was sort of like a different version of Fernando. You know, it kind of had like a similar.
Well,
180.
Yeah, it took his eyes off of the plate kind of thing during the middle of the windup.
Right. It's pretty remarkable. Today also would have been Frank Robinson's 84th birthday. Mm. So, some good company on this August 31st. It just got really quiet there for a second. Happy birthday, Hideo. And speaking of Dodgers, really quick, how about Big Russ showing up? Now, I know he was more or less responsible for like that miss, but yesterday notwithstanding, Dodgers threw a shutout earlier this week, a collective shutout. And Big Russ, number 55, my favorite player, so happy when he came back to the Dodgers, got the final three outs of that game. No position player had done that since 1917. How about that?
So 19 said a position player had gotten the last three outs of a baseball game.
Of a shutout, yeah.
A shutout.
Yeah, it's pretty damn good. And he, you know, I don't know if you saw this, but, you know, a lot of position players go up there and just throw, like, little gopher balls down the middle. Big Russ is throwing, he's throwing curveballs. He's putting a lot behind him. He's throwing, like, high 80s. I mean, he's looking good.
I think also a catcher is different than any other position player when it comes to pitchers or pitching, because the catchers hang out with pitchers. So
That's
they
true.
Understand something about pitching because they have to catch. And so if a catcher has the opportunity to pitch, they're already a leg up on any other position player because they already think about pitching.
It would seem. Now, why aren't the pitchers the best hitters on the team, since they know exactly what the other pitcher is thinking?
They don't practice enough. They don't practice enough.
I know. But you would think that same mentality.
You would think, well, the same goes with catchers, too. You know, by that rationale.
Catchers should always be the best hitter on the team.
One can really do it all. But
well, Mike Trout would beg to differ.
I don't know. Let's see him pitch a game or two.
And so would Big Russ. But the
Dodgers do have a very good pitcher that used to be a catcher as well.
Kenley Jansen.
Right.
That's right.
He caught in the World Baseball Classic
Curacao
for the winning team, or they were in the
finals. No, they didn't win.
They had lost. But
yeah, that was the year Japan won, I believe. And then after that, Dominican. And then after that, USA, baby. And I was at that Dominican World Series, the championship game against Cuba, right? Yeah,
it was a fun game.
That was pretty unreal. The only time I've ever been to a baseball game that had that much energy was in Japan. I mean, and that was just a regular season
international
game.
Baseball.
Really, truly.
You need to go to more playoff games
That's true. Sadly, there aren't going to be any playoff games in the Bay Area, except for the A's, possibly.
But A's still is a possibility. A reasonable chance that the A's will host a playoff game. Maybe not even host, but they'll make the playoffs probably.
Now, you were trying to make the argument to me that the Giants were not mathematically out of playoff contention.
Right.
Prove to me how I'm wrong.
Well, I mean, the numbers say that if the Giants go something like 22-9 in the last...
other teams go like 9-22. All right, so it's not.
Well, no, I mean they'll end up if they win 22 of their remaining, I guess, 29 games.
it's been done before.
Stranger things have
so
happened.
So mathematically,
I'm saying it's unlikely.
They haven't been ruled out,
but they're not out of contention like say the Orioles,
right?
Or
the Tigres,
yeah,
or the Royals. Or the Blue Jays, right?
Yeah,
or
the
Rockies. Yes. But are all those teams mathematically out?
Yes.
Yeah. In fact, actually...
There's no combination of
Mariners
wins
and
losses that will allow these teams to make the playoffs. So they are mathematically eliminated from contention this season. The Giants, not yet there.
That's true.
Mathematically, they still have a chance to catch the Dodgers and win the division.
What's more than that?
It's unlikely, but it's still.
And by the way, the Dodgers'
theoretically
magic number
possible.
Is still 10, and it's only August.
Yeah,
so,
no, there's no doubt that the Dodgers will be the first team in the postseason for Major League Baseball. Is this a good thing for the Dodgers? They'll have to coast the last 2.5 weeks
fine.
Of the
We've
season.
Done that the last 2 years straight.
Yeah, how did
we
that
won
work?
The pennant. Yeah.
And how
it worked
that...
out great. We won the pennant 2 years straight.
What about the World Series?
2 years straight.
What about the World Series?
You know, anything could happen in the World Series. Yeah, and by the way, trust me, I'm still bitter about 17. I'm not bitter about 18. 18 was whatever. 17, though?
Really? 18 was ever now that team is...
17's my 0-2 for you until 2010, I guess. That's so many numbers, Jeremy. 0-2, okay. But, you know, what's worse for all those teams is that, and really, if you think about it in this way, one-third of the teams in the AL... will have a ridiculously large win differential to first place. 35 plus games out. I mean, that's just insane. So a third of the teams in the AL. And now I'm not talking about the Rockies, of course. That's National League. But Orioles, 43 games out. And now up to 104 games out of first over the past two seasons. Tigers, 42 games out. Royals, 36 out. And not even in last place, by the way. Blue Jays are 34 back, and the Mariners are 30 out. But 37, since their impossible 13-2 start to the season 5 months ago. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that. They were looking really good, and then all of a sudden, they weren't.
So in division play era. This has never happened. There has never been five teams in one league that are going to finish 35 games out of first place. It's never happened before. Now, you might look at that and say, oh, this is a boring year for baseball. But actually, it's one of the most, it's going to be one of the more intriguing and exciting Septembers that I've seen in a long time.
Don't look now. There's a playoff race happening.
That's right.
And it involves five teams.
That is true. There is a five-way NL wildcard race happening.
Well, that's still a playoff chase.
Right. And in the history of the sport, there's never been a five-way tie for any postseason spot. So how about the second spot for 2019 wild card? Cubs, Brewers, Phillies, D-bags, Mets. It doesn't seem impossible, but for those five teams to wind up with 85 wins, it would look something like this. Let's see. Cubs would have to go 13-16. It's not bad. They're currently
sub 500, and they still make 85 wins.
Brewers have to go 16-12. Phillies would have to go 16-14. D-backs 17-11, and the Mets would have to go 18-11. The Diamondbacks are hot right now. I mean, they just put the screws to the Dodgers last night. And the Mets, you know, Mets were getting good, and then they got a little streaky, but. It could happen, but can you imagine that, a five-way tie? I mean, it could happen.
Well, how do they manage that tie? Do they just go to tiebreakers on the record, or do they go to a playoff?
I remember getting into this last year because of game 163 and all that stuff, and
right.
I remember
that was only two teams.
Right.
This is five.
Right. Well,
do you have to delay the start of the first round of the playoffs while you settle out who wins all the divisions?
Well, yeah, 163, because all these teams aren't in the same division, so I think you would have to go that way, right? And then each 163 winner from that division goes on. But if there's three teams in the same division, then yeah, I have no idea. I don't know. Yeah, I guess we'll find out. I didn't come that prepared, but...
Well, we can hash out the math and have it ready for our next episode to really see how it breaks down. And maybe it'll have simplified by then. There's a few teams that could start trending the opposite way of the way that they should if they want to make the postseason, much like the Giants sadly have in the last week.
Oof. Now, I mean, you had to have seen that coming, although I guess you probably didn't because wins.
I saw it coming from the beginning of the season.
That's right. You actually did say sell them.
Like I'm a fan, so like I want them. I think I enjoyed that little run of winning baseball, but. My heart has been prepared for a losing season from the get go. So,
sorry.
No. That's fine. That's exactly the way that the Giants' season has gone. Unbaseball related, there was a pretty funny video of Price is Right where the model pulled the winning sticker off of the game too early, and so the contestant won the car that was the
Ooh.
Prize. It was really
by
really
default,
actually quite pretty funny.
That's
but
pretty awesome.
Just the detail, it was pretty funny video though.
Speaking of TV, you had some news on the Disney Mickey Mouse Club or something. What's
oh
going
yes,
on with this?
Well.
How does this pertain to baseball?
Well, it pertains to baseball because it pertains to the business of baseball. And baseball on TV. Disney, who had a stake in the YES Network, the YES, Yankees Entertainment
right.
System.
Something like that.
They sold recently, sold their stake in the YES Networks to a group that includes the Yankees, Amazon, and Sinclair for $3.5 billion.
Goo.
This is the Yankees. What's interesting about this is that I think everyone will start to see more Yankees on their television screens. Why? Well, because of Sinclair. Sinclair is the big conglomerate media company that owns the vast majority of local television affiliates.
Right. Kind of like a kind of like a Clear Channel, but for all pretty much like all the local affiliates.
Right. There's
why each local city has more or less the same story a lot of times. Each
exactly.
Night,
and there's a very there's scary. A there is weird. A very scary video out that shows, you know, the same
yeah.
verbatim
right.
report being shown on like two dozen or more,
oh, way more than that, yeah, like different thousands things, different yeah.
Across the country, the there's exact same
John Oliver report on that one,
yeah,
yeah,
exactly. So, that's Sinclair. So that and along with Amazon, that's already in everyone's homes, it seems, listening to you,
oof.
Watching you,
oof.
And your viewing habits, your listening habits, and so I think everyone is probably going to get more Yankees overall in
outrageous.
Their homes.
That's
and,
outrageous.
Since the beginning
You're
of...
goddamn disgrace!
Since the beginning of time, and, well, at least baseball on TV.
That's when time began.
Yeah.
Well not on TV,
but
yeah, I guess you're right.
The
Yankees have dominated.
There were not a lot of games on TV. Those that were nationally televised, and the majority of those games featured the Yankees. And the winning always helps, of course, but the Yankees became everyone's default favorite team. And
well, they have the GOAT, and plus they have the pride of the Yankees, Lou Gehrig. And,
well, know, yeah.
The movie didn't hurt, to say the least. And, of course, when Babe Ruth is, you know, on your team.
Well, Babe Ruth is definitely where it all began, but is still... Here, you know, and like I said, the winning like helps. If the
winning helps,
if the Yankees starting next year could have the worst season in Yankees history for 40 years and still have a record overall above 500.
Jesus.
So, you know, people like to back a winner. The Yankees have been winning for a long time, but they've also been on TV for a long time. So, people are familiar with the Yankees. They root for the Yankees.
So Disney's cutting ties, though.
That's Disney's cutting ties.
So we're
Disney's
not going to be seeing any Yankees movies.
No, probably not.
Well, that's
not.
Good. But
at least not by Disney.
But we're going to be seeing more
Yankees baseball.
Ooh, or Amazon Game of the Day. It's going to all be Yankees
yeah,
now. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
$3 billion. Wow, you could buy the
three
Royals.
$3.5 billion. You're going to buy the Royals and have money left over.
Exactly. Royals are on sale right now for like $1 billion. I mean, that's like chump change right there.
Let's start a GoFundMe podcast listener.
Fancy. How fancy.
Let's go to Kansas City, own a franchise.
Hey, that sounds pretty good. I might, I'm going to start saving my money. Now, the Astros could be the first team ever to have their pitchers lead the whole sport in strikeouts, whilst their hitters leading the whole sport in the fewest strikeouts. That's pretty crazy. Now, I knew that the Astros never intentionally walk guys, which I'm all for. I mean, I get it. Sometimes a strategy, you know, you want to have the double play in order. Sometimes it makes sense, but so often, you know, I remember Vin Scully would always talk about that. Like, every time you intentionally walk a guy, he's usually has a, you know, it's... usually comes around to bite you in the ass.
More often than not, it seems like. Yeah,
it seems like that. And maybe it's just a weird thing that you tend to notice it when it happens and you don't notice it when it doesn't. But that's pretty cool. I didn't realize the Astros were striking out that little. I mean, I knew the pitching was insane because I have Cole and Verlander on my fantasy team and they're just raking. But that's a pretty non-ignoble award. That's a noble award. How about that?
Sure.
Now I just really quickly because you were talking about Angel Hernandez before the show, and I knew that he's got like a lawsuit against MLB right now going on, right?
Right, he does
for racial discrimination.
Yeah, he's mad because he hasn't been chosen to be on the umpiring crew for postseason games,
for the big games. Yeah, good. Thank
well,
God.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with his ethnicity or his last name. It has everything to do with, well, people don't like it when you call their games.
You suck, McBain!
Yeah, he's terrible. He's awful. Everybody, I mean, players, fans, he thinks there's some sort of inherent racial bias by the MLB, right? As far as I read. And it's just like, no, dude, like, just watch the tape. Like, you're terrible.
All right, yeah. So he was ordered to undergo a psych evaluation as part of the suit.
Good. That makes sense.
And this, according to this article that I found from the Cub Insider.
Okay.
There was already. One that was attached to the deposition before this actual
hearing. A psych eval?
Judge. Yeah, there was a psych eval that apparently took several hours, and he'll have to do another one.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, look, the guy needs to be examined thoroughly. Okay, check his eyes. Check his brain. I mean, I don't know.
Eyes are a good thing for all umpires to have checked.
Check his ears. You know, I mean, I honestly, I feel like his ears, he might have like an ear infection, like an inner ear thing, because his equilibrium, maybe that's off.
Well, he if his equilibrium off, he wouldn't be able to stand straight. But no, just
I don't
like,
know that he is standing straight, to be honest with you. I mean, the way he calls games. Now, I have the Drake, this guy Drake. He's on my new shit list. That's the guy that Turner, you know, kind of bumped. And rendering the one game suspension.
Your bearded umpire?
Oh, the bearded ump. Come on, bro. Shave the beard. Like, what are you doing? Come on. You're a grown man on TV. You're representing Major League Baseball. You're the only ump with a beard. Just lose it, all right? Lose it. This isn't Casual Friday. I'm also not too happy because he's behind the plate today on this Cubs-Brewers game that I have Hamels pitching in. Hamels, you know, he seemed to have calmed down a bit, but he gave up like two walks and two runs in the first inning.
I told you not to worry about it because he's definitely still possible to get that.
Don't tell me that now because the other guy, he possibly even more, is up at the about to pinch hit right now with a man on. So he could lose the quality start as we speak.
Yeah.
And as usually, as is tradition on this show, my pitchers always do horribly while we're doing the show. Maybe that's my fault for having it on in the background, I guess that's
it. Might have happened if we weren't actually like actively watching it, but
that's true. But you know,
I know that. You don't think I know that?
Anyway, hopefully now I'm not a Cubs fan, but I am like once a week. So I got Rizzo back today. He's back off the IL. God, I always want to say DL.
But
you know what, your boy
My boy?
Your boy just made some history last night.
Oh, you're talking about Mad Bum.
I'm talking about Mad Bum. Oh. Now, it's a very, specious history. It's
Giants history.
It's Giants history. So it's not that important. But since this is West Coast bias, figured it's high time to bring it up. He got a record-tying home win last night. And you said he started the game off pretty shaky. Now I was
It wasn't shaky. He just had a lot of pitches through the first three innings.
Like over 50 pitches.
Over 50 pitches. He was at 53 through three innings.
Well, it seems to me.
And still went seven
yeah.
strong.
Yeah.
I mean, he struck out. Part of it was that he like struck out the side.
Five out of the six batters.
Yeah. You throw a lot of pitches when you strike a lot of people out.
But. Yeah, he got his 60th career home win, the 8-3 win over the Padres Friday night, tying who or whom? No, who?
Who
did he tie?
you sprang this to me on my the show, and I was listening to the game, but while at work, but I didn't hear this detail.
Who did he tie? AT&T Park. It's only been there for less than twenty years.
I don't know. My instinct says to say Kirk Reeder or Matt Cain.
I award you no points.
Oh, actually, sorry. Yeah, you're right. Matt Cain, not Kurt Reeder. Yeah, Matt Cain. Whoops. I jumped the gun on you. Yes, 60 wins. That is the record now. I guess silver lining for not getting rid of Mad Bum is he could potentially get that 61st win at the end of the season against the Dodgers. Could potentially. Those are very key words there. But do you think he's going to do it? Do you think he's going to leave the Giants as the winningest pitcher in Giants in San Francisco AT&T Park history?
I think...
can he do it?
I think that he absolutely can. I think there's no reason why he couldn't. I mean...
Well, the Dodgers, that's a big reason why he couldn't.
Well, but the Dodgers are going to be, by that time, the Dodgers are going to be on coast mode. So they won't necessarily be...
That's true.
...be trying necessary to win. They're just going to be in tune-up, let's stay healthy and in shape for the playoffs.
We're going to be loose, baby. We're going to be loose. We're going to be ready. We're going to use that last three-game series against the Giants to just really propel us into the postseason. Not unlike last year. Although last year, those games mattered. All the Giants had to do last year was win one of those three games.
It's okay. They still lost the...
can't see it.
They still lost the World Series. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he definitely can do it. I believe that he probably will do it. And whether or not he leaves the Giants, that remains to be seen. There has been talk about him wanting to stay, and
He wants to stay, but he wants to stay for like $50 million.
$50 million for 3 years, an option for a fourth. Would he take it?
No,
if he's open for
he
for
might
a
want
short
more than
term
that.
Deal.
$50 million for like 2 years, I think he wants. He wants like $20 or $30 million a year, which seems pretty insane. That seems pretty crazy. If it's 2011 Bumgarner, sure. But, you know, I don't know. We'll see. It'll all be over soon. You could rip that Band-Aid off and start fresh. You know, you guys already got rid of Scooter Gennett. That was a quick rental.
It was. Scooter Gennett, we hardly knew ye.
Yeah.
He won a couple of games. He had a couple home runs. I thought they were going to keep him. They brought up their...
number one prospect, right?
Yeah. The one that they got, the kid that they got from... The trade to the Brewers, Dubon.
Right.
But, yeah. Who knows? We'll see what happens this offseason. It'll be an interesting one for the Giants. But, you know, I don't know. For me, a lot of times baseball can become kind of religion. But I'm not sure that I like this thou shall not steal commandment entering into this thing.
That's true. I'm glad you brought that up.
What's going on? How come people aren't stealing?
That's
bases?
A good question.
I mean, this is a whole aspect to the mental aspect of the game a lot of times too. And is it worth? I mean, what's going on with steals? How come they're not valued anymore?
Exactly. Well, that's the thing. They're not doing it because they're not valued, but why aren't they valued? That's a good question. And I guess it's they ran the numbers. I don't know. I mean, look at teams like the Rays or the Astros. Like, they have a designated statistician. They have a designated guy in there every day breaking down the numbers. A lot of them, it's not even just a guy. Like, it's a team, not unlike the physical therapy team. But 10 years ago, Jacoby Ellsbury stole 70 bases for the Red Sox. This year, the Red Sox as a team will most likely not reach 70 stolen bases collectively. And actually, there's a chance half the teams in baseball will do the same. So, yeah, I mean, you're 100% right. MLB is on pace to have the fewest stolen bases since 1971. But actually, this year will show the fewest stolen bases, stolen base attempts since 1964. The average team now attempts 4 stolen bases per week.
Per week. That's not even one a game.
It's insane. So, is there a good argument to steal? Actually, it seems like isn't anymore.
Well, I don't know. It comes down to the type of baseball being played. I mean,
right.
My argument to steal would be the 1985 Cardinals. They won a World Series based on defense and stealing bases. They didn't really have any big home run guys. They had a They were playing at Old Busch Stadium that had artificial turf, so it was a really fast infield, and they just ran on everybody.
Yeah, well, so that's what the Royals seem to be trying to do this year, right? But didn't really work out very well to them. So they're playing an old man game in a young kid's sport, I guess. It's a different strategy that maybe doesn't work anymore. So
why isn't it working? Because everyone is either...
Look at the math, right? If you're looking at the math, and we talk about this with Josh Hader a lot, called the Hader effect, if you will, but nearly twice as many runs score on home runs now, 45.3%, as compared to singles, 23.3%. So according to Stats, the website, it's never been less likely at any point in history that a team is going to drive in a run with a single. So
right.
it means the guy stealing second, it's 23% less effective these days. But it's like you said,
they're playing it differently. They're trying to hit home runs. There's three outcomes right now to every at bat, right? There's a home run. There's a walk or a strikeout.
It appears that way.
And people are still getting hits, but, you know, it goes also, strategy, running, stealing bases also goes to hit and run. You have to have guys who are willing to try to get a single, you know, so that a guy can go from first to third. And if he's going and you swing and miss, then maybe he's got second base anyway, and he'll be that much closer to score if you don't hit a home run.
Right. No, I mean, I 100% understand. I mean, it makes perfect sense to me, and I'm all for small ball, but it does seem like,
I mean,
it is strange. Maybe you have to adapt or die kind of thing. It's if everybody else is doing it.
I remember there was a point when Barry Bonds was playing that he came out and said, I believe the manager was Felipe Alou at the time, said, I don't want the runner on first base to steal,
right?
Because it distracts me. I see the runner go and I get distracted. I'm not focusing on the ball. So maybe there's a little bit of that. If everyone's concentrating on hitting the ball as hard and as far as you can, then that runner going from first to second is a distraction to the hitter.
Right. All the teams have this math. All the teams probably had way more advanced stats than I'm capable of digesting. So they see that. They see 45% to 22%. They're like, well, yeah, what's the point? There's really no point. And also, guys like, you know, like Hader. I mean, Hader was on track a few days ago to allow more home runs than singles. He had 13 homers and 13 singles. Yimi Garcia, the Dodgers right now, somehow has 14 long balls and only 10 singles. I'm sure those home runs hurt a lot more than those singles do. And so, you know, guys are sort of going for broke, and I guess it's working. You know, I mean, we're talking about this home run madness. I mean, the record for most players hitting 10-plus home runs in a season is 242 in 2017, the year of the long ball, right? The number of players who have done it already this year is 238. There's 36 players right now with 8 or 9 right now. So this, I mean, it's definitely going to get broken this year. You were talking about the Yankees' all-time record last year, right?
But
as a team. And then this year we have four teams that are going to break that record. And, of course, all those four of those teams have a 98% chance of making the playoffs. Dodgers, Yankees, Astros, Twins. So you can say you should be playing small ball, you should be playing 85 Cardinals ball, but when all these teams and the run differential on these teams doesn't lie.
I'm not saying that they should, but there are some teams that would probably benefit from playing just not all out home run derby baseball. I think
I don't know. I mean, again,
look at
the Royals. Royals went all in on speed this year.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not really doing much for them right now.
Well, and
I hate to admit it. I do.
It's the thing. I think the pendulum starts to swing back the other way, which it inevitably will. Then you see that probably what will happen is that the more successful teams will have a good balance of speed, running the bases, and hitting the home run. That you know, I mean, yeah, you can hit home runs all the day, but that's dependent on the pitchers and the pitcher's ability to get guys out. And the more they tend to disadvantage the pitchers, the more advantage the hitters are going to have to be able to hit a ball a really long way.
Well, I don't see how the pitchers will have the advantage when MLB just keeps pumping out all these balls and they're all slick and they're all white.
Well, exactly.
And they're perfect for the batters.
Exactly.
I mean, now, I know the pitchers always had the advantage. Baseball is a sport of failure. I get that. So the pitcher almost always has the advantage. But, I mean, you know, when you try to balance that scale, even a modicum, which is what's going on this year, right? Just balls are a tiny bit different, little bit. It's just the home runs are through the roof. You know, the tiny incremental change makes a giant splash in the game. So maybe you got to start letting them scuff the balls up a little bit more. How about, more than like one ball per pitch, you know, or one pitch per ball. I mean, I don't know.
Two pitches per ball would be an improvement over what it is right now.
According to Michael Tvan, the MLB spokesman, this season the league is averaging 249.99 pitches per game through late August, so 250 pitches a game. Most teams estimate they go through 12 to 15 dozen balls per game, which means that the average, you know, major league game ball's life expectancy is 1.53 pitches. Yeah. It's one and a half pitches.
And where do these balls go? Well, some of them go into the stands via home run. A few more go into the stands for foul balls.
No, but that's the other thing. An overwhelming amount of them go to resale and the aftermarket. And if you've been in any clubs or any baseball stadium's club level, you can see all those balls for sale for $100, $200.
Sure. Or auction. Or even in the souvenir stores, they'll sell autographed balls. I bought a jersey couple years ago, the last jersey that I bought, and the promotion was you buy a jersey and you get an autographed baseball.
Oh, that's pretty good. What jersey was it?
It was the alternate road uniform
for
the Giants with the thing. No, I didn't get a name on it.
Great.
But the ball that I got was Joe Panic.
Oof.
Another, you know, yeah, now he's with the Mets and he's been hitting the cover off the ball.
Oh, that's where he's from. You know, there's still thousands of balls out there. Most of the batting practice balls go to Little Leagues and most of those actually go to the Dominican after that, because the practice balls aren't rubbed with dirt, apparently. They're not rubbed with the Delaware River mud or whatever. They're not. They're all clean and white because the batters want it just for practice. But then the other balls, I mean, it's just crazy. They're all over the place, and a lot of them get sold. You know, the Dodgers sell a few dozen non-special balls that were used in games, maybe bounced in the dirt a few times or tossed up by pitchers for about $20 each at Dodger Stadium. They're usually always sold out, you know, by the first inning. But that's a cool thing to do. I mean, $20 for a real game ball, that's a good deal. But when they're selling them, you know, it's like a random double by Corey Seager in like July of 2018. It's like, why is this ball $100? You know,
right?
But I mean, it makes sense. And the players don't get any of that money, obviously. I mean, they're part of the team. But it is pretty insane. In 2005, MLB estimated it went through 900,000 game balls. This year, the league is on track to use an incredible 1.14 million regular season balls.
That doesn't include
the 132,000 practice balls or the 168,000 spring training balls. And, I mean, who knows, an untold number of playoff game balls as well. I mean, so
right.
Well over a million. I mean, we should all just be rolling in these balls. I want a ball.
Huh.
Can I have one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can. Thank you.
I've got one on my hands right here. As far as I'm concerned, they're not mine to give away.
I bet, you're right. So a lot of those are going out into the stands nowadays, and there are a lot more foul balls, especially with all the pitching changes and everything. So, I mean, I don't know.
But most of these balls just get tossed to the side.
They
kick in the dirt,
exactly.
And you get a new ball.
Let the pitcher use the ball for a few batters. Now, I know you umped Little League.
Right, yeah.
How many balls did you guys go through? 10 dozen? 100? 200 a game?
three per game. We were allowed,
three dozen.
We were a game and three balls.
Three balls total.
Had to three balls total. Now, a little league game is six innings.
Okay, I thought it was seven.
No, it was six.
Okay.
Six innings for little league, and so given three balls by one team, and that's what you had to work with. So I was. You had to manage these balls, keep them as wide as possible so that everyone, you know, so the batters can see it, so I could see it, calling balls and strikes.
That's what it is. That's now I figured it out. These damn umps, they can't see.
It's not helping them anyway.
Now it makes sense.
But, I mean, it,
just a bit outside.
No, I get
we,
it.
So I would try to keep a ball for two innings and then rotate it out, but
one ball for
two innings of play.
What, there's no foul balls or anything?
Oh, there'd be foul balls, but we'd have to go and get the ball. We'd have to go get the ball.
Throw it back. It's like a Cubs game.
Most.
I didn't think about that.
Most fans, you know, it went into the stands. Most of the parents that were sitting up there were, you know, knew that we're limited balls, and they brought it right back. I got it back within a few.
To put signs up, please don't hoard the balls.
Sometimes, you know, a foul ball would go into the parking lot or the next field. Those are rare, but I'd have to send someone to go get that because I needed the ball. And then on the other rare occasion that a kid would actually hit a home run.
Right.
You know, obviously they would want that ball.
You make the kid, all right, go shag that ball.
Well, so someone would go get it. It would take a while, but then I'd have to make sure that I knew which ball that was because I still needed to use it for the game. Yeah. But I'd want to give the kid the ball at the end of the game, and it's like, this is the ball you hit. And I'd have to, you know, make sure that I knew which ball was being
used. So pretty much you can
start
with three, end with three, I guess, in Little League. If everybody knows the rules.
Yeah, most of the time I did end with it, and I usually ended up giving two back to the team that supplied them and one to the other team so everyone could have a game ball to give. And since they were the ones thing, if they didn't say anything, sometimes I'd keep the ball if I wanted the ball. But
hey, maybe that's a solution to these new balls. I mean, keep making the balls the same way if you want. Fine, whatever. But like, let them use the balls. I mean, now they have guys. I didn't know this until I was reading this this really good Athletic article that came out on Thursday by Molly Knight. They have people in every dugout counting and every ball and writing down exactly what happened. You know, Clayton Kershaw, you know, 6-12 curveball in the dirt, and then they tag it, and then like they put like a little like a barcode or like a
little sticker, I think it's a little MLB
QI code or everything on there, and then it gets logged. I mean, that's insane. I didn't. The MLB authenticator. You know,
this practice started back, I think early 2000s, as we were getting a lot of like historical sort of events happening.
Yeah.
That they wanted to be sure that they got the right ball. It was Barry Bonds, you know, started, you know, hitting all these historic home runs. We want to make sure that someone got the ball and they say, hey, I, you know, here's the ball, but it could have been any ball.
Right, no, exactly. That's the thing, because technically home run balls can never be authenticated since they don't remain within eyesight of the authenticator.
Right, but
so
but
fans
if it,
can switch
if,
it out.
If it's pre-authenticated, then, you know, they know
which...
Well,
it's not pre-authenticated, though.
But they know, remember when he was in the chase for 715, right. 714, 756, these were all important home runs. They knew which balls were in play.
What, they were pre-authenticating them?
That whatever they had marked.
That UPC
they
code.
They had marked the ball however they marked the ball, and they knew which balls the umpire had. So when the home run was hit, they knew which one was
is that true?
Was being used well, so because they could tell which one was the real one.
So they were pre-authenticating balls just for Barry Bonds.
Right.
Because I know, like, nowadays, for big milestones, MLB sends out a milestones notification email to each team, says things like, quote, like, FYI, Miguel Cabrera is due to collect his 1,700th RBI in roughly 20 games, which means it'll probably happen when he's visiting your stadium, so be on alert kind of thing. So they give a heads up to the team to keep an eye out for that stuff. But I didn't know that they... Because like that's the problem with home run balls. They can't authenticate them because they literally go out of the sight of the authenticator, whose job it is just to keep his eye on that ball.
I know that they had someone there who was keeping track of which balls were being used at the time. So they know whichever one that, you know, what was actually hit, they could tell because all the balls had been marked.
That's
weird. In case one of them gets hit out.
They marked 250 balls for like that whole game. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, yeah, these are games, and when the bat boy runs out to give the umpire more balls for his pouch, then those pouches can hold like 3 to 5 balls, so they go out in the thing. They know which ones they're handing them, so that they know when they eventually all come back, the one that's missing, that's the one that was the legitimate souvenir
but
ball.
But it's still, exactly, it's still not his ball. It's still not Barry's ball. It's not MLB's ball. It's
the fan's ball. Right. But they can tell that this was the ball that he hit, not this one, you know, that I pulled out of my pocket.
Right. although for normal situations, they do have a game ball that from that day, they could switch it out and say,
How often does that happen? Well, maybe a couple times a year you'll see someone like at Wrigley Field here, you know, catch a home run ball on the bleachers. I want to keep this home run ball, throw out
a different one that I
bought. You'll see him switch and throw.
There's a guy that's famous for that. He throws like a garbage, like a cheap ball back. It's not even like a regular Rawlings.
It plays that the fans don't know. They see the ball come in and say, all's good. But and there's also, I remember.
Oh, strike one. Mm. Silence, Silencio. Mind. Silencio, senor.
It is silencio. That wasn't a pre-set alarm.
Well, speaking of Wrigley, you told me Bruce Bochy got his number retired at Wrigley.
I don't know what's happening there. But I mean, this is Bruce Bochy's retirement year, so he's going to all of these places. Teams are honoring him.
It's like he's Derek Jeter. That whole
kind of thing. So these teams are saying goodbye. So the Cubs gave Bruce Bochy, for his final game in Wrigley Field, the number 15 from the manual scoreboard out in center field in Wrigley. Kind of cool.
What?
Well, his jersey like number metal, is 15.
The giant metal scoreboard numbers?
Yeah.
How's he going to get that on a plane?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure they'll put it in a cardboard box and have it shipped to San Diego or wherever he wants it.
So that's kind of weird.
But an interesting piece.
Was he ever a Cub?
He was never a Cub. He was a San Diego Padre, and now he's a Giant.
Right. No, as a player.
He was a San Diego Padre.
Right. That's really weird. I don't really understand that. But and they have a 15. It's not like a 1 and a 5. It's not two separate numbers.
No, I guess there's a 15 in case there's 15 hits in a game, I guess.
Interesting.
I don't
know. Interesting. Oh, okay. I get it.
Or any runs. Number 15. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess weirder things have happened, I guess. That's for sure. Now,
I'm sure that's why they could ultimately afford to give it away, because how often does a number, they probably only need one at a time. But
now, in this world gone mad, in this world of home runs and craziness, can this be the year? Look at me. I'm happy for you. Can this be the year the Giants have a 20 home run guy?
Oh, man. They could even have two.
That's possible. Oh, that's possible.
Yeah,
you know,
this kid, Mike Yastrzemski. Related to another guy, he's been hitting the ball at a pretty good pace.
That's true. He's at 18. He's at 18 right now.
I was looking at Kevin Pillar.
Well, so and I made the bold prediction when you guys got Kevin Pillar. I said this is going to be the guy your first 20 home run guy. And nobody believed me because he's never had a 20 home run season in his career. But I figured if anybody's going to do it, it's going to be him.
Yeah.
And right now, he's got 19 right now.
19, yeah.
So it can happen. Look at me. I'm crossing my fingers for you. I mean,
well, it'll be great. It'll be a change.
In a year when like the Dodgers like have like eight guys hitting 20 and the Giants still haven't had a guy hit 20 since 2013 or something, Buster Posey.
Yeah, crazy.
And by the way, what's going on with Buster Posey? The guy's hitting 250. What does he have, six home runs? I mean, this guy is just, is he done?
He's lost his power stroke.
I'm going to send it out to the glue factory.
I don't know that he's completely done. He's still a hell of a defensive catcher, but he shouldn't be batting fourth.
And Longo's on a tear right now, too. Evan Longoria's been tearing it up. That's a great streaming option right now for fantasy, I think, at least for that. But, yeah, hey, look, you got 18, 19, 16. Belt has 16, you know, your first baseman. Yeah. Come on. I know
that guy's been a disappointment for a number of years. But he hit one really big home run, and again in the 14th inning or something like that in Washington in the playoff game. And the rest of the time,
of his career,
the rest of the time,
I agree.
He's ultimately been disappointment as an offensive threat. You look at the guy; he's big. He should be.
That's a home run hitter.
Balls. Yeah,
he looks
that's
like
a home run
hitter.
Hitter's body, and he hits like a guy half his size. Yeah, thank you, Chewy. I'm glad you agree.
He's pretty much as big as Chewy, but he just hits these weak squibbers. I don't really understand.
Chewy was like 6'7", 6'8".
Yeah, but Belt's huge. Like 6'9", bro. Belt's huge. there are 15 teams
You're thinking of Aaron Judge, who hit number 99 against Kershaw.
Yeah, but it wasn't 100.
No, but it matched his jersey number.
Yeah, that's right.
And he predicted it, too.
Well, I mean, he predicted he'd get a home run off Kershaw.
Yeah, and he did. He didn't say specifically, I'm gonna hit number 99 or 100 against him. He said he was going to hit a home run when he faced Kershaw, and he did.
All right. I don't know. That day he said it? No.
I don't know if it was
he said it at the beginning of the season.
Was it? He still said it.
Well, people say a lot of things. Now in this world,
he backed it
everything
up.
Everything is
so
permanent.
There you go.
Well, I don't know about that. And that brings us to this week's Ignoble Award of the Week. Oh, this kid.
Who do you got for?
Who do I got? I got this kid, Matt Strom. You rat.
Matt Strom? What did he do to earn the Ignoble Award?
He hit Max Muncy for one and fractured his wrist. So, yeah. Matt Strom, just go. Just take off your jersey. Go home. Retire. Leave. Leave the country, actually. Just leave. Just leave.
I'm broke, ugly, and stupid. Do you care to dance?
No. He needs to leave immediately. That guy's the worst. He's terrible. We're ramping up for the postseason. Muncy seemed surprisingly calm about it. It's not as bad as it could be, but it's also worse than they initially thought.
1 to 2 weeks is the hood, and it's going
like
to be
three,
longer?
3 to 4.
Ooh, 3 to 4.
Yeah.
Won't be back until the NLCS, maybe.
It's the wrist, man. I mean, that's, especially for Max Muncy, our first 30-30 guy since, or back-to-back seasons of 30 home runs, not 30-30, since
Sean Green.
That's right.
And
Big Green Machine, baby.
2000-2001, right?
I want to say 04, probably. 3-4, no?
I ran across it here.
Four is when he hit four, right? But I don't know. Was it four? No, yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe that was two. I don't know. My memory doesn't go back that far. Yeah, so Matt Strom, just retire. It's okay. All right, well,
You don't wish upon him the Tyler Skaggs.
Oof.
Thing. We finally got an autopsy report, and this is not great.
No, it's not great. He basically was Heath Ledger, and nobody really knew, but that's pretty bad. Yeah. Fentanyl, Oxycontin, I mean, booze.
Yeah.
I was like, come on, bro. What are you, Johnny Cash? Like, Jesus Christ. You're
apparently
a kid.
Not.
Yeah, the weird thing is that his family, I mean, I get it. Like, they're beside themselves, you know, but this whole, like, they're saying this is completely out of character for someone who works so hard and blah, blah, blah. And we hired a detective and we're stopping at nothing to find out who's involved, how, you know, who sold him, who supplied him these narcotics. It's like, lady, it's 2019. Oxycontin's the number one drug in America. I mean, there's a literal pandemic going on in the country right now. There are more deaths by that than alcohol. I mean, it's just insane. It's crazy.
It really is.
To me, there's no mystery to me. It's, you know, maybe he had an injury. Maybe he got prescribed some pills and then he just kept taking them. But the fentanyl, I mean, that's kind of the red herring. I mean, that's when you know you're an addict. Like, when you're going the fentanyl, I mean, Oxycontin already is hillbilly heroin. We all know somebody. I mean, every one of us. I've been affected by it personally. I know I've seen a lot of people, friends. I mean, it's bad.
Yeah.
It's not a mystery to me, you know. So the family trying to, like, go after some... Yeah, I mean, come on. You know, it's not the drug dealer. It's the drugs. You know? It's the user. I don't know. I feel bad. I mean, the guy's dead. Yeah. It sucks.
Don't want to say anything negative about him, you know, but it's something that it's common, like you said. Relatively easy to get, and it's a release from pain, you know, in some way or another, be it physical or mental or something.
This brings up the point that, I mean, you know, I mean, it's not just me. It's, I mean, most common people with common sense can see across all sports that you need to let these guys smoke a little cannabis. You know, you got to free the weed. I mean, the NBA, to their credit, has been very, very relaxed with this because they know these guys are going to smoke. Why are you punishing them? It's not a performance enhancer. They're professional athletes. They're always hurt. Even if they're not hurt, they're still hurting. You know, they're still aching. This is a tough... All these games played at the highest levels are tough on your body. And not just your body, your mind. You know, let these guys smoke. The NFL is, like, notoriously awful for this. And these guys are... I mean, literally getting crushed. You know, a lot of these guys never walk the same the rest of their lives after they retire. And you're not even going to let them smoke a little? You know, you're going to risk them ODing in a hotel room in Texas? Because you can't let them... Now, again, once you're already hooked on, you know, opiates, weed isn't going to do anything for you. But you know, there may have been a chance before you start taking all these pills where you could just, smoke a blunt after your game, you know? Yeah. Have a steak. Just go to sleep.
Some preliminary studies have shown that in the states where cannabis is now legal, that overall use of opioids has decreased.
I believe it.
Because it's a sad thing, and I totally agree with you that...
Oh, it's horrible. I mean, yeah. I mean, he's a young kid, and...
Yeah, it's likely that if he had freedom of use and access to cannabis, that maybe he wouldn't have been in such a state that he would have to turn to something like fentanyl.
I mean, fentanyl, Jesus, man. I thought only, like, Michael Jackson and Prince were on that stuff. Well, like, that's insane. Yeah. Well... Anyway, yeah, that's pretty bad. I don't want to end it on the bad note.
No, we won't, but there's something you were telling me about home field advantage for the playoffs.
Oh, man.
This
thing,
and there's a bunch of teams that have some great records.
Well, yes. Right now, the Yankees are on pace to win 106 games. The Astros are on pace to win 104 in the wild card era since seeding became a thing, you know. There has never been a team that has won 104 games or more that didn't go into the postseason as the number one seed. You know, so obviously
that's going to change this year.
It could change. I mean, they're on pace. They're on pace. Sure. But we could see three teams with 104. Not probably in the same league. Obviously, the National League is definitely not going to have three teams in the 100s. But Yankees and the Astros have a very likely chance of both having 104 or more wins. And now, look, this home field advantage is extremely important because it's paramount to these two teams. The Astros are playing a ridiculous 51-17 with a .750 winning percentage at home this year.
And a +215 run differential.
I'm sure. The Yankees are 49-20 at home right now, .710 winning percentage. So, I mean, they rank as the second and fourth best home winning percentages among all playoff teams in the wild card era, only topped by the 98 Yankees, who won the World Series that year.
Right.
I mean, it's a big deal. In the wild card era, every team that played 700 baseball at home and held home field advantage in a league championship series won the pennant, with the glaring exception of the 2001 Mariners, of course. Maybe the saddest that of all tales. Yeah, that's Google. But, you know, so all this really makes it seem like the Yanks and the Astros really can't let off the gas until the end of the season, which actually will have will be great for fantasy players this year. You know, it's going to be awesome. If you have Yankees, if you have Astros, you don't have to worry about these your stars sitting, because they are in a tight race now for home field. And as we saw in 2017, Yankees, I mean, every single home game was won. In the championship
ALCS,
series. Had Yankees had home field, they most likely would have won it. Yeah. So it is going to be paramount to their success, to say the least. So keep an eye on that, and don't bench your stars if you're playing at home. It should be pretty cool. Really quick before we get, did you see the Josh Reddick hair flip, or hair flips? Plural, I should say.
No, I did not miss it.
we'll have the link up on the Facebook site. Maybe I'll put it on the Podomatic liner notes today. It's so good. I mean, he gets rung up at home. He's incredulous, and rightfully so. It was a horrible call. I mean, everybody in the stands is like aghast. But then Reddick flips off his helmet. He's got the long flowy hair, you know, and he keeps doing his Valley Girl head spin. So good. It's so good. John Boy Media has a nice rundown of this. And he does it like 8 times, man. It's just all right, Reddick. You know, we get it. You got long hair. Really good. Go check that. That clip out. It's pretty good. Now that brings us to last week's trivia question.
Last week's trivia question. Remind us what it was.
Last week's trivia question. Who led his league in hits for 3 different teams?
Led his league in hits.
Yeah.
For 3 different teams.
Different teams. Only one guy.
Wow. It's pretty impressive.
It is pretty impressive. Now, before I get to the... I'll get to the emails first, then I'm going to ask you and see if you know the answer.
I already told you.
We got Trisha Coleman in Burlingame says Rod Carew. Yeah. Okay, that's a good guess.
Not a bad guess.
Rod Carew did lead 3 times, but only for Minnesota. So, no, Sally, no. We got Norm Manita in Oakland says Pete Rose. Now that's a pretty good guess as well. Certainly not a bad one.
He only played for 2 teams, though.
I think we established he played for 4 teams, or was it? It's at least 3 because he played for Toronto for like half a season, which was really strange.
Okay.
He did do it 6 times, but for 2 different teams, Cincy and Philly. So no, it is not the Hit King. Although that's a
Charlie Hustle is
pretty solid guess. Okay. Now that's it. Nobody got it. Now who do you think it is?
Well, a couple names flashed that weren't messaged, but I'm gonna go with Ichiro.
Ooh, Ichiro. He did play for 3 teams, but...
Nothing for you!
Sorry. No. Because by the time he was playing with the Marlins, he wasn't the Hit King really anymore, you know?
All right. But then my other guess would have been Carlos Beltran.
Ooh, that's a good guess. I like where your head's going with that one. But no, it is not Carlos Beltran. It is not Adrian Beltre either, just to help you. No, that would be Senor Paul Molitor.
Hmm. Paul Monitor. I only ever think about him as a brewer.
Not Paul Monitor. Not a computer monitor. Paul Molitor. can you name one of the 3 teams as a bonus to leave some dignity in the studio today? No?
No. I don't think I'm drawing a blank.
Brewers, Blue Jays, Twins. Pretty damn impressive, man. Yeah, pretty impressive stuff.
Indeed.
Now, no winners. No chicken dinners, but there's always room for this week. Now, what do you got for me this week?
Well, I got, unfortunately, something that is Nice and West Coast for everyone.
Finally.
Yeah. So, Cody Bellinger.
Yes, sir.
Dodger, one of your favorites, I believe.
MVP.
Yeah. He has hit 42 home runs so far this year.
And by the way, he has an 8 WAR already.
That's pretty incredible. Okay, I mean, the Dodgers are a great team. They're still not going to win the World Series. Cody Bellinger has hit 42 home runs so far. 42 home runs this season. And he's hit those 42 home runs off of 42 different pitchers.
Whoa, really?
That's kind of one of those things that go, really?
Are you serious?
But yes, it's true. The 42 different pitchers he has hit one home run off of.
What? I'm gonna check that later.
So right now I'll
take you at your word. That's pretty insane.
So there's only been one other time in history that someone has hit 40 or more home runs against 40 or more pitchers.
All right, I like this one. This is good.
Who is that player? That is.
This could be anybody. I mean, this is insane.
Well, it could be anyone, but truth be told, this anyone has to have hit 40 or more home
runs. So we know it's not a Giant. So we can. Well, so we got 29 other teams.
Barry Bonds hit 40 home runs in the thing.
Okay, all right.
We've had a couple 40 home runs.
But I'm assuming it's not Barry Bonds.
Nothing in recent memory. Nothing. No Giant from the last 10 years. That's a safe one.
Well, sure. That's true. All right. Well, that's a good one. Who was the last player to hit?
The only other player.
Oh, right.
The only other player. Not just the last. The only other player to do this. 40 home runs off of 40 different pitchers.
That's a huge. That's great for Belly. That just means, he spreads the wealth around. He's not intimidated by any pitcher,
Takes all comers. He's not feasting off of any one pitcher.
I'm just envisioning just a Yankees Dodgers World Series, and we're just feasting off of Yankees pitching because it doesn't exist. Can't wait. They're gonna try to be like Milwaukee. Just they're gonna put Aroldis Chapman out in the first. Oh, it's just going to be Thanksgiving came early. I can't wait.
It'll be a fun classic matchup for the World Series.
That's true. And with all these games, actually, 163 games, who knows? We might have baseball in November this year. I mean, I know the schedule's already out, but who knows? I mean, anyway, we'll see. Thanksgiving's coming early, baby. I could taste it. I want
to
feast.
We'll get to see sharpen the uniforms in the full glory, unlike during the series over Players Weekend. Those god-awful black and white uniforms that you couldn't tell who is who unless you're familiar with their batting stance.
Well, which most of us are, but...
Not everyone, not the casual
fan. Well, not if you're a Giants fan, because you don't know who the hell's playing for that team.
That's a different issue, if a casual fan, they're trying to highlight the individualities of these players to capture the imagination of the individual fan and bring him into the sport. And you couldn't tell who anyone was who was playing. Well, what teams were out there? Who was at
wow, you're really fired up. I thought we were winding down.
These are horrible.
You're ramping up now.
I needed to get that off my chest, I turned on the game. I was sitting at a hotel bar, and I had them turn on the Yankees Dodgers because they were Sunday night baseball.
Yeah, you did.
I was looking from a distance at it, and it could have been any two teams playing at Dodger Stadium.
You were so offended. It was a little silly. I mean, I'm not hurt over it, but I bet you, because of the vitriol coming from this room, and I'm sure the internet and abroad, we'll never see those again. So I think you can sleep easy tonight.
I think the only reason why they did is someone that actually already paid for them.
That makes sense. That sounds like MLB to me. On that note, from San Francisco, California, I am Adam Nelson.
And I am Samuel Paul. Remember, baseball is life. The rest, just details.
Go watch some baseball.